This episode of Higher Ed Social is brought to you by Top Hat, the teaching app that makes active learning come to life. Top Hat already helps thousands of college professors create their perfect course, both inside and outside the classroom. It's a suite of easy-to-use apps to engage your class, adopt incredible next-generation textbooks, or to run tests within a secure digital environment. Best of all, it integrates with all popular LMS systems and doesn't require IT approval to get started. See why professors in over 700 colleges and universities across North America already use Top Hat to power their classrooms. To learn more, visit tophat.com/higheredsocial. That's tophat.com/higheredsocial.
You're listening to Higher Ed Social.
That is not what you're supposed to say.
So the part about podcasting is that you get to edit things. It's really nice. So we'll try it again. I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network. Welcome to the show.
We are so excited to be here. Thank you so much. Podcasting is something Logan and I have been doing for roughly 3 years now, and we are so excited to talk to y'all about it. I know some of you guys have started podcasts at your institution. Some of you? I'm seeing no hand. No, I'm seeing some head shakes. Not a lot of you. Are you trying to start a podcast at your institution? More hands are going up. I like this. This is so exciting. We are ready to talk about it. Just to talk kind of to our podcast, Higher Ed Social. We've been around for roughly 3 years, which is pretty ridiculous. And we like to talk to folks that work across all spectrums of higher education. So wherever you work on campus, you will find a guest on our show who you can relate to or learn from. And we really like to talk about them or talk to them more about who they are as people. We don't bring specific people on the show just to talk about a hard-hitting higher ed issue, but we've learned so much. We've had guests from all across the country, and I can technically say the world, because we have had folks from Australia, which is super cool.
One person. So we're international, right?
We're international.
If anyone's from Canada, that'd be great too. One of the big things that we do is we encourage faculty, staff, and administration to break silos. Now, I've worked in higher education for a really long time. Jackie has as well. And one of the biggest impediments to what we all know as the big buzzword is cross-functional collaboration. The biggest impediment from any department working with any other department is just this feeling, and you guys probably see it at your own schools, that people don't know really how to talk to people in other areas. Like, I don't know, student affairs doesn't necessarily know how to talk to the registrar's office. And kind of our goal with the show is to make people more comfortable talking to other people in other departments, to realize that we're all here for the same reason, generally.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, Higher Ed Social has been around for roughly 3.5 years. So if you're traveling back to the East Coast, like Logan and I are, you have a lot of content to listen to on the plane. So we're really excited. Like we said, this is going to be our 122nd episode. So we're very excited that all of you are a part of it. And the other thing, too, is Logan and I chose to kind of sit like this because this is kind of like what podcasting looks like, no matter where you're doing it. Whether you're doing it kind of as a fun side activity or doing it at your institution, generally you are in front of some sort of computer and it's not really the most visually appealing, and that's okay. So we're super excited to talk about podcasting today.
Right. This is a little different, obviously, than what we usually do on the show. Our show is a conversational show, as we mentioned previously. But we do have these little interspersed episodes where we maybe review an Apple Watch and then review it again after Jackie decides she doesn't like it. And we have these little fun episodes that we throw in from time to time, and that's what 22 is going to be. Plus, we didn't line up a guest this week. So there you go.
That is true.
Whether this works or not, we'll see.
Yeah. So we will be taking audience questions. We're really excited about it. But if you have a question as we're talking, feel free to shoot us a tweet at HES Podcast. Go ahead and follow us. We're pretty funny, I think. But
yep.
Apparently not, though, because I tried these jokes and they just weren't landing.
Well, it's early. Usually, this is a beer, because we usually record at like 7 or 8 Eastern time.
I would not recommend that at your institution.
Probably not. That's not always that fun. I mean, it is fun. It's just not fun when you get fired. So what we're going to talk about today are the questions that we are asked by folks all the time as far as creating a podcast. Both Jackie and I are working on podcasts at our institution. She's actually got two under her belt.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I helped Skidmore College found WellSaid, or I'm sorry, this is Skidmore. And I said WellSaid because I'm currently working at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and we're revamping WellSaid. So those are two really great podcasts in higher ed, but there's tons more out there too.
And I'm currently in the process of creating our podcast. We can't really do anything until fall when students get here, considering the format of the show, but it will be called something, and we will tell you what it is as soon as it's out. So
mystery.
Mystery
it.
Podcast,
like
yeah.
So let's get started with our questions, I guess.
Yeah, so.
Everyone says why, right? We're marketers, we always need a goal, we need the why. And I think personally, there's a lot of ways to answer this.
Right. And the question for our listeners is, why should I create a podcast at my institution? And, you know, our first answer is not because everyone else is doing it.
Right. The same way that we think about social media, you know, you don't just jump on Snapchat because you feel like you have to. You want to go in with some goals. Really, like if you look at listener data, especially I love Pew. Pew reported that there's been a 15% increase in listenership since 2008. That's pretty significant. And obviously they're gaining popularity. I assume most of us in the room have listened to at least one podcast in your life. If you haven't, you are missing out. And we can go through later our favorite podcasts if you want to know. But the listenership is there, but you do need some goals.
Right. And what, according to Pew?
Yes.
Monthly listening has increased 15% since 2008, so more people are listening to podcasts.
And most of those are between pretty much our target demographic. They're between 18 and 34. So those are your current students, they're your young alumni, they're the folks that we're trying to engage the most on things like social media or when it comes to giving, those types of things. But the other kind of why, in my opinion, is that it's a very flexible way to tell a story or report on something. Podcasting is, in my opinion, equally as flexible as text. So you can use your podcast to report the news that's happening on your campus, or you can tell a story. Longwood University just recently released a two-part episode about a alumni who actually went missing, and they did kind of I don't want to say murder mystery, I hate saying that, but serial-y type podcast. So really, we talked a lot about creativity, thanks to Amma yesterday. This is an opportunity to be creative. This is a storytelling platform, but also a reporting platform.
And that brings us to our next question, which is, what should I think about when concepting my podcast?
I think we kind of talk about goals a lot, but you really have to ask yourself why, and then you have to ask yourself why again, and then you say, okay, who do we want to talk to, but why do we want to talk to them? Because it is so flexible, it's very easy to kind of go off on a tangent. When you're writing or doing a video or even doing a photo gallery, you kind of stay fairly focused. But when it comes to podcasting and you're saying, hey, we just want to pull some people in, we want to pull in our faculty experts, it's very easy to kind of stray away from your initial goal. And so you need to identify your audience, first of all. And sadly, everyone is not your audience. So if you are looking to convert high school students to applicants or to students, you know, think about what they want to hear, and then again, ask yourself why.
That's right. And the next thing you need to think about is, what is it about? Like, what are you gonna talk about? What is the point of this podcast? After you figure out what your audience is, it's incredibly important to figure out, what the heck are you gonna talk about? Obviously, there are lots of things to talk about at your university, but you've got to think, you know, is this going to be kind of a podcast that talks about res life, or is this gonna be a podcast that talks about everything? Is this going to be a podcast that talks about the history of our university, which we actually created a 13-part like little podcast about that. We called it like Stories of Belmont, which you can find on the App Store. Not the App Store, the podcast store, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think that too then lends itself to ultimately your format. once you start saying, okay, this is the audience we want to talk to, this is the type of information they want to hear, what does that actually sound like? Is it a casual conversation with one of your faculty members? Is it a question-answer format? Is it storytelling, where you have a narrator kind of helping to weave actual narrative for you? Or is it something totally different? You know, the sky really is the limit when it comes to this format. And one way that I find is very easy to figure out what your format is listening to other podcasts, not just higher ed podcasts. What sounds good to you? What types of things do you like in your ears and into your brain? You know, do you like that one podcast because of the way they use music to evoke feeling? Do you really like the structure of a certain podcast? You know, everybody's different, but it really helps you get inspired to listen to other podcasts, whether they're within the higher ed space or not.
That's right. And the last thing that you have to think about is episodes. How many episodes are you going to have? How long is your season going to be? You also have to think about how you're going to release those. You can release them as something you can subscribe to, kind of like Higher Ed Social, or you can release it now. It's kind of a new thing to release everything out where you can binge it, a binge cast, where it's kind of like, you know, Netflix, where you can go and listen to whatever episode that you want to right now, the day it comes out, which I actually am starting to like quite a bit.
Binging?
Yes.
I mean, we're a binge culture now.
We are a binge
culture.
That's what
we do. Netflix and chill. So now it's Higher Ed Social and chill. Thank you for laughing. Appreciate that. Listeners, the audience laughs so hard at
that
joke.
I feel awkward laughing about that one.
All right, whatever.
Okay. So next up is, what kind of equipment do I need to start recording?
So hands raised. Does anyone have like a budget allocated to podcasting? One hand. That's so interesting. Does anyone want a budget for podcasting? More hands. Does anyone have any idea what that number should be? Lots of head shakes. So you can do a podcast for free, or for very cheap. Logan was mad at me for the first 2 years of Higher Ed Social because I used the free Apple headphones that you plug into a computer with that small mic on it. Like,
they work okay unless you have long hair that rubs up against the microphone every episode.
Which doesn't
drive people nuts.
Every time. So you really can get started for a very low cost. Generally, you'll find yourself having to buy some sort of subscription to a hosting service.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when it comes to microphones, we get this question all the time. And I always say, talk to Logan, because I look to him as the pro of all things audio equipment.
Now, most... you can find lots of different microphones out there. There are great microphones. I mean, microphones like, you know, this one right here that can, you know, plug in with an XLR
You'll find it at karaoke.
At karaoke or Radio Shack. Is Radio Shack still a thing?
I don't know.
But anyway, I bought this guy at Best Buy. This is a blue Snowball microphone. It's a Snowball Ice. Marin's my wife. Jackie is my podcast
host. This got weird.
Jackie has a Snowball as well. It's called a blue Snowball, but it's orange, which is interesting. Not that it matters because we're audio, but you know. Anyway, this costs what, like 30 or 40 bucks?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon too.
Yeah, I got mine at Best Buy because I had reward zone points.
Yeah, and so with a little bit of editing, you can really make most audio sound pretty clean. But does anyone listen to a podcast that like the audio is eh, but you still really like the content, so you keep listening? Hands are up, right? So listeners are fairly forgiving. So if you don't have the cleanest audio, of course you want to get it there. But don't go out and buy a $300 microphone because you think more expensive equals better quality.
Right. There are different kinds of microphones. There are omnidirectional microphones, which is what you want to do if you can only buy one microphone and you want to set it in a place in the middle. But if you get a... what's the other one? Starts with a C.
Cardioid.
There you go. It points like this, so therefore the audio will not catch the audio in the whole room. It'll just catch what's right in front of it. So you have to be really, you have to think about what you're getting before you buy it.
Yeah, and part of it too comes down to your format. If you're planning on interviewing faculty members every single week, they might not want to come over to the recording studio that you set up or wherever you record and you have stationary microphones. So it may be worth investing in some sort of portable microphone so that you can go to them. So think about how often you're going to be conducting interviews or those types of things to be able to determine what equipment you're going to get.
Another great example is the H4N from Zoom. If you saw the video session a couple days ago, they mentioned getting a Zoom like this. It's a great little directional mic that you can just sit between people and do that. And we're actually recording using this one to record as a backup. And we actually have another one back there recording the feed coming out of the microphones.
And in terms of, I guess we're talking about recording, so we should probably talk about where to do that. So you want to be not in a room that's super echoey, like this one. But you know, you make it work. We record Higher Ed Social at our own respective homes. I am in North Carolina and Logan is in Tennessee, so we make it work. I record at my kitchen table, but Logan, where do you record?
I record in my closet. I have a walk-in closet in my bedroom. Now let me explain why I do it in my closet. Not to make the joke that I'm in a closet, but to clothes in and of themselves are natural sound bafflers. So if you've ever been in a closet, you know how it feels really closed off and you know you can't hear a lot. It just feels really tight. It's just like a recording studio. So it works really well for a low budget podcast.
And so when you think about places on your campus to record, more than likely you have some sort of recording studio, I assume, either a television station or your radio station is a great connection to make. But you can kind of build your own type of recording studio. And you can also try it out, too. You know, take your microphone around on different places on campus and see what it sounds like.
Make sure that the room has carpet. That's at least step one. That is going to absorb some sound, and you're going to not be as echoey. If you do something with hard floor, you're definitely going to get echoes. Mm-hmm. So,
or if you're in a giant conference room.
Yes, that works.
This episode of Higher Ed Social is brought to you by Top Hat, the teaching app that makes active learning come to life. Top Hat is already helping thousands of college professors create their absolutely perfect course, both inside and outside of the classroom. Top Hat is a suite of easy-to-use apps to engage your class, adopt incredible next-generation textbooks, or even run tests within a secure digital environment. And best of all, it actually integrates with all the popular LMS systems, so you don't need any IT approval to get started. You can see why professors in over 700 colleges and universities across North America are already using Top Hat to power their classrooms at tophat.com/higheredsocial. So head over to tophat.com/higheredsocial to learn more.
So next up, what should I think about? Hold on, I keep hitting buttons.
Logan, this is his first time using PowerPoint.
It is. It feels like it. What should I think about when recording my podcast?
So I think we talk about goals and those types of things, but goals are number one. So do you want your listeners to do something? Do you want them to, like, go somewhere? But then number two is, who is going to be on your show? Do you want to actually get faculty members? You know, do we have that opportunity to reach out to those faculty members on a consistent basis? Do we have enough of a story to actually say, okay, we can sustain this for however long they were trying to sustain it? And just ask. Start asking people if they'd be interested, even if you don't feel like you're quite ready to dive in, which I know can be very scary, diving into a podcast. Start asking around, saying like, hey, really well-known faculty member, people really like you. Do you want to talk to us for a half hour? We want to use you for this podcast. It's really important too when you're talking to your guests to make them feel comfortable. They're probably not in your head when you started to formulate this podcast idea. So let them know where you're coming from, why you want them on the show, why you feel like their opinions and their voice is valuable to the show, and make them feel comfortable. When you bring them into the studio or wherever you're recording, do not just hit record and say, here we go. Give them the opportunity to start to feel comfortable with a microphone in their face. A lot of people get a little intimidated by a big thing in their face. And you can actually just kind of warm them up, talk to them about their day, talk to them about campus, about the weather. That'll help you with your audio levels as well.
Yep.
But you can also pretty much figure out how they're going to sound on the podcast. Are they soft-spoken? Do you want to get the microphone closer to them? Are they too loud? Do you want to gently move it away from them so that it's not too loud on the show? And sometimes people will say no. As an extrovert, I'm like, what are you talking about? This sounds like so much fun. But my introverted friends may say, that's a little uncomfortable for me. And you have to be okay with that. Don't ever force someone to be on your podcast because it will not come out well.
So getting them comfortable at first is incredibly important. That is true. But then you've got to ask the right questions. You've got to get questions that tell a story, right? So first things first, always think about questions in advance. Doing a pre-interview is always a great way to do that. You can see if someone has something interesting to say before you're actually in front of them with the microphone. You can do this over the phone, you can do this in person, take them to Starbucks, do something like that. You want them to be comfortable giving you answers to the questions that you want to give them. And when I say comfortable, comfortable is good. You want them to be comfortable with you as a person, but you can't just ask softball questions, right? So if you're doing a podcast that especially is trying to, you know, get a story or get an emotional reaction, do softball questions get emotional reactions for people? No, and it's not compelling. So sometimes, I mean, it is totally okay to dig deeper, okay? You're editing your podcast, right? So the worst they can do is not answer, say, I'm not comfortable with that. But if they do answer the question and it is an amazing answer, an emotional answer, one that, you know, comes from the heart, then that's going to be the best content that you can get. And one other thing too, when you're editing the podcast, you don't have to edit it so that, as you know, the timeline of you recording it is exactly how you do the show. So, you know, you ask question 1, 2, and 3. Maybe number 3 was a really great, compelling answer. Maybe put that at number one. Put that at the beginning of the podcast to hook people in, and then maybe do question 1 and then question 2. You can do all kinds of magic, fun things like that.
Yeah, it's like the best part about being human. Like, you get an edit button on your life. It's really, really cool. And when it comes to that too, I always advise folks to record a bunch of pilots. Walk into your first couple saying, like, you know what, this may never make it to air, but let's learn. Because as much as Logan and I can give you advice and those types of things, there is a little bit of a learning curve when it comes to podcasting, and you kind of have to find your own groove. And so sometimes you'll record a couple pilots and be like, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. They might end up in the trash, and that's okay, because no one's gonna know. That's the beauty of it.
If you wanna hear how horrible something can be, go listen to the first episode of Higher Ed Social. Ooh. Not the episode with Todd Sanders, because we had learned a little bit by then, but the actual, like, here, we're doing a podcast. It's horrible.
It's bad.
It's horrible.
It's so bad.
We used to start with like this like intro that
bad.
Where we tried to talk about what happened in the show, and I'm like,
so bad.
You know, people can read the show notes. Like, why do we need to do that?
Now I just feel uncomfortable thinking about it.
Yes.
So started episode like 20.
Yeah, 20 or 16 with Amma, who is in
Amma's
here somewhere.
Yeah, Amma's here. So yeah, she was on the show, so you can listen to Amma. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's Amma and the ukulele, I believe.
Yes, I play the ukulele in that one, I think.
Indeed,
right?
She does.
I can play the ukulele. Fun fact about me.
She sold her ukulele though. Very sad.
And transcribing is something that I feel like should get mentioned here.
Right.
We talk about accessibility. I know a lot of folks talked about it today. Folks ask all the time, like, where should I get my podcast transcribed? And if you're not using a service, we definitely recommend HappyScribe. They are 10 cents a minute, I think, and very, very good.
And if you want to help out the show and transcribe, just please use this link.
Yeah, use our link. We would really appreciate it.
That'd be great.
But yeah, it is very, very good for all things transcription, not just podcasting. You can download the transcription as an SRT file if you need it.
Which is nice.
Can also download as a PDF or a Word doc. So if you want to go in there and just clean some things up, it'll give you timestamps if you want it. They'll identify speakers for you. It's a pretty awesome system, and fairly reasonably priced.
Right. It's 10 cents a minute?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, which is actually kind of crazy. Which is great for a podcast that, you know, is...
records in a closet.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've recorded our podcast, we got our content, and then the next step is always editing. So we get asked all the time, how do you edit the show? What software can you use to edit the podcast? And really, what is best to actually edit a podcast?
Right. So a lot of people use Adobe Audition, which comes with the Creative Cloud world of products. So if you have Creative Cloud, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, all that kind of stuff, Audition probably comes with that. So it's the green one that's AU. Anyway, if you don't have that and you have a Mac, you can always use something like GarageBand.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I edited all of This Is Skidmore using GarageBand. So I had very little audio skills. It's not too complicated to learn. You can delete things very easily and clean up your audio. I would definitely recommend GarageBand.
And I personally use Final Cut Pro, which is weird. But Final Cut Pro is actually, I do a lot of video editing, so I'm just used to it. I can export stuff as a WAV file, which is great. The other cool thing is that Final Cut has a lot of really awesome filters and kind of noise cancellation and stuff like that that is really super helpful because the audio is the most important part of video, in case you knew that. So.
And the most important part of podcasting.
It's pretty important there. Because the video part of podcasting, unless you're a video podcast, is, you know.
Yeah, when we talk about editing too, I go back to the, like, what should I think about when I'm starting a podcast situation. Think about how much time this will take you. I assume none of you are full-time podcast producers for your institution. If you are, please come talk to me, because that's amazing.
Why are you here? Why aren't you up here?
And so, you want to think about your format and how that will affect how long it will take you to edit. Because something like Higher Ed Social, we keep it pretty easy on ourselves. Logan just has to put our introductory music in the front, we have some ad breaks in the middle, and our music at the end. But if you're trying to tell a story and you're talking to multiple faculty members or multiple people to weave, all these sound bites together, that's going to take much more time. So consider your format and how long you have in your workday to be able to edit.
And one thing, if you do, who listens to podcasts in here? Lots of people, right?
Oh,
everybody. Who likes to hear
Logan says like 40
and so,
times.
I recognize the waveform for an now, and I just delete it without even listening. So always do your best to remove those things and those awkward pauses. So many awkward pauses, especially with, whenever you're doing kind of a conversation.
Why
podcast.
Did I just get looked at when you said awkward pauses? I don't pause. I feel whatever.
I was trying to fake an awkward pause there.
I just got looked at.
Whatever.
But yeah, you can, I kind of say that with editing, there's an easy, medium, and hard version. So the easy version is to just say, music, things that we talked about, music, we're done. Get it out the door. Medium is taking off those ums.
Yep.
Hard is going through and detailing every single piece of audio.
Cutting out only the stuff that you like and then arranging it in the position that tells the story the best.
Yes.
Well said is based like that, right?
Absolutely. And so ultimately what happens is you have to think about how much time you have.
Yep.
So then we always get asked, how do I put my podcast online? And this was the question that I asked when we started Higher Ed Social. I was like, oh my God, I know nothing about the internet.
She
How am I
out.
Supposed to do this?
Yep.
And I learned it is incredibly simple.
It is incredibly simple. There are lots of different options that you can use as far as hosting goes. You use Podbean?
Yes, Podbean is out there. Libsyn is
out there. You can find SoundCloud is free and a great place to put stuff up there. That's what other podcasts on the ConnectEDU network do. We actually do a website option on Higher Ed Social. So we use WordPress and the Blueberry PowerPress plugin, which is a free plugin you can download. What it does is it creates all of these things, create the magic thing that all podcasts need, which is the RSS feed. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Podcasts are RSS feeds. That's really all they are. So once you get that RSS feed, you just take it and then you submit it to your podcast networks like iTunes. Usually you only have to do it to iTunes, really, and then everyone else pretty much picks it up, unless it's Stitcher or Spotify, which, by the way, is really hard to get on. I've been trying for months. There's the other one. What was it? Radio Public?
Yep.
Some of those you do have to submit it yourself.
Yeah, so to submit it and get your podcast online, it's free. So really all you need is some way to develop an RSS feed. So become friends with IT. I think that's been a theme of this conference, as well as to be friends with your IT division. And if you can get an RSS feed through your own website, through WordPress or your CMS, that's great. But there are options out there like SoundCloud or Podbean. You could really just Google, how do I host my podcast? And a million ads will pop up on Google first, but then you'll actually get some good ones.
If you do host it on your website, just keep in mind that there is space involved. Every episode's about 30 to 60 megabytes in size, so that adds up pretty fast. I think Higher Ed Social is like a total of, for 122 episodes, maybe 30 gigabytes in size. So it's not like huge, but it's still a significant amount of web server space.
So we also get asked all the time, and I don't want to say all the time. I think I don't get asked this question enough about how do I market my podcast? Because I think, you know, most of us, we work in web and social media. Folks at this point are pretty trained to say, hey, I wonder if that college has an Instagram. I wonder if they have a Snapchat. But not many people are trained to say, I wonder if they have a podcast. Let me go find it. And so we have to work a little bit harder when it comes to letting folks know that the podcast exists.
Right.
So asking the question, you know, how do I actually market my podcast is probably the most important one.
Right. And we say just be creative and be persistent. You have to just let people know over and over and over that you have a podcast. One cool thing that Jackie did was make stickers.
Yeah.
Stickers a great way.
Put stickers out on your campus.
I used to have one right here.
But our friendship is over now.
So. I know, right?
So you can come up with creative ways that resonate most with your campus as well as your target audience. You know, if you're trying to target your alumni, you can send them a cool little mailer and let them know about the podcast. You can include it in the footer of the emails that you send out to them every, you know, 3 weeks asking for money. You could target your prospective student audience, again, by the email newsletters or even dropping some print information in your admissions office when they're there on tours. You can tell the tour guides to let them know about it. So you have to be more creative pretty much than ever when it comes to marketing your podcast.
Podcasts are content marketing. Mm-hmm. So remember that. What did we learn during our first keynote? That content marketing is what? A marathon? I like to call it a half marathon because I can run those. Marathons are for crazy people. But remember, when you start your podcast, you're not going to get a lot of listeners. I mean, we had 25 listeners, like, the first episode
of
Higher Ed Social.
All of them were my family, I think.
Well, we had a few friends in higher ed that tried it. I don't know if they continued to drink the Kool-Aid, but I think they do now, now that we've gotten way better. But as far as that goes, remember, it's a marathon. Your podcast is going to grow, and it's going to grow slowly. But as you do, as people like your show, listen to more episodes, they're going to subscribe because they're going to want more. And that grows and builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the other creative way to do it is if you are talking about your art history department on your podcast, go ahead and embed that on your art history website. There's opportunities online to kind of connect that content to the stuff that already exists, either in your social media strategy or your web strategy.
Plus, if you have something like SoundCloud or Libsyn or Podbean, it's super easy to just embed. It's like embedding a YouTube video. It's super simple. Mm-hmm. And also, we made business cards. You can find them on the table.
On the front tables.
So if you want to take one, that'd be awesome.
So our final question that we at least want to talk about today is measuring and goals. So how do I actually measure the success of my podcast? And the hard part, and you know, being in all these great sessions today about data and analytics, is we get overwhelmed with data. We're like, oh my gosh, we have all this data. What do we do with it? It is the exact opposite problem when it comes to podcasting. Because you have so little data, you don't know what to do with it. Podcasts right now do not give a lot of information when it comes to listenership. People ask us all the time, you know, how many listeners do you have? And we say, because you can't actually learn, unfortunately, how many folks are subscribed to your podcast. But you can infer based on number of downloads over a 24-hour period or then 48-hour period. You can kind of infer how many subscribers you have. But unfortunately, we don't have a ton of data.
Right. You use Podbean, so that measures downloads?
Yep, downloads. We also can get some location information, as well as which episodes are getting downloaded on which day.
Cool. We use Blueberry for Higher Ed Social because it's cheap. And it tells us a little bit about where they're from, and it gives us information about what downloaded it. So if it's, you know, Apple, iOS, like the browser, Safari, so they come to the website to listen to the show, or if they're using the iOS app, or if they're using Stitcher, or if they're using Radio Public, it tells us kind of what the system is there. There is a new beta for Apple called Podcast Connect. If your show is on the App Store, you've or the Apple Podcast Store. You have submitted your show and you had to use your Apple ID. If you sign in with your Apple ID at podcastconnect.apple.com, you can actually get analytics for your show. And that analytics shows you everything that we've ever wanted, which is how long they listen to the show, how long that they, how many subscribed after listening to the episode, how many downloads over time. However, there is a caveat. Everyone, any data that's in there is based off of whether they have iOS 11, which is generally most people, and whether they say that they will share their analytics data with Apple, right? So all of you have gotten that little pop-up whenever you open an app, when you've upgraded your iOS, that says something along the lines of, do you want to share your information with developers? Who clicks yes to that?
I do.
Three people in the room. So that should tell you something about the analytics coming out of that.
Absolutely.
It's not super awesome, but it can give you a general idea if maybe you're doing something wrong. So if people are only, if most of the people are listening after 2 minutes and then dropping off, then maybe there might be some changes that need to be made. So it gives you some information as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But take it with a grain of salt.
And so those are the questions we get asked all the time.
I think they want mimosas.
That is true. Thank God this was pre-mimosas. Ooh, post would have been real rough.
Would it? May have been more entertaining.
Well, thank you guys for listening to Higher Ed Social. We greatly appreciate it. And of course, with all podcasts, there's always kind of an intro and an outro, and you can edit these things in. But we do recommend, and we probably should have mentioned that, some sort of like consistency in your podcast. Feel free to have some sort of consistent introduction, you know, saying who you are, saying what your institution is, but also thanking your listeners for listening to the show.
Right.
So thank you all for, again, listening to Higher Ed Social. You can visit us online. We are at higher-ed.social, and you can get links to all the great stuff that we talked about today. You can subscribe to Higher Ed Social pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. I'm pretty sure my mom is the only one who has done that, so it's a little awkward. But you can also follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Feel free to send us a tweet anytime. We want to talk to you, so if you are interested in being on Higher Ed Social, we would absolutely love to have you. Send us a tweet, come find us even, and we would love to talk to you. Higher Ed Social is actually produced by the wonderful Emma Hawes and is part of the Connect EDU Network, which is the first podcast network for higher education. You can actually visit the website, connectedu.network, and you can actually subscribe to some really great shows like Hashtag Higher Ed, but pretty much wherever you work on campus, you'll find something that's fit for you. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your week.
And thank you so much to our sponsor this week, Top Hat. You can head to their website, tophat.com/higheredsocial, to learn more.